Boom. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Game Train, where we talk about games, share our opinions, and talk about game news. My name's Carl.
And I'm Callan.
All right, let's do this thing.
Again, I just want to start off by saying thank you to everyone that's tuned in so far.
Thank you so much, guys.
All our passengers now aboard the Game Train. It's been great getting the feedback. Please keep it coming. We read every bit of feedback we get, and we discuss all the feedback between ourselves. It's great. Please keep it coming.
Send the questions our way.
Yep.
You know, so that we can answer those as well. Keep those coming.
Yes.
We love challenging ourselves with the questions as well, because sometimes they leave us a bit stumped, and that's always a bit fun.
First up, though, news.
Boom. All right. Destiny 2 got announced.
Yep.
That's coming out on the 8th of September.
And I'm not hype for that at all. No hype here.
Oh, well, you're an awful human being.
I didn't play the first one, so it's, yeah. Look, I will pick it up. I'm going to give it a go and stuff. But yeah, I'm not really that hyped for it, really.
That's probably the best way to prepare yourself for it, because then it could potentially blow your mind.
Yeah.
But if you have giant expectations like the rest of the world did when the first one came out, because it was Bungie's next giant thing after handing away Halo.
Yes. And I think people just have this way of just building up their own excitement as well. Like, to a fever pitch. But anyway, onto other news. Jak and Daxter is heading to the PS4.
That is awesome.
PS2 classic collection of the old Jak and Daxter games are coming out later this year. So I'm pretty excited about that. Should be fun.
Horizon DLC got sort of lightly announced, you know.
How excited are you for that?
Yeah, pretty bloody excited. I finished that, finally, and I loved it. I was going to say this, it was similar to Final Fantasy 15 in how once the end started happening, you kind of just roll with it and the story kind of takes over a little bit and sort of walks you through it in its own adventure, except they did it really well.
Okay. Well, I'm still not there yet. I'm still going through it, but I'm looking forward to getting to the end. How disappointed would you be if your expectations were built up for a new map for DLC, but instead you just got some new Aloy costumes?
Oh, see, I'm going to be fine because I would be stoked with new Aloy costumes.
and some new filters for your camera in the game.
Oh, mate. What I want is to be able to play the game in the filters like you can in Uncharted.
Okay.
You know, after you finish the game, you can then pick a filter
like
and replay
sepia tone and stuff.
Yeah, but they've got like even pixelated and they've got like really fun, weird sort of cartoony graphics. And anyway, let's announce that we're going to move on from that until the DLC comes out.
Yeah,
and not mention it.
Horizon is done. We're putting that one to the side until I finish it.
Of course. I'd like to hear what you think at the end. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, yes.
With a campaign this time. So
really?
I'm actually quite excited for that. Yes, that was the main thing people asked for, and they've gone and done it. And lastly, Mad Catz has filed for bankruptcy, which was quite shocking to me.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, they make the classic steering wheels and arcade stick controllers. They're like a third-party controller peripheral company. But yeah, so completely done. Ceased all operations, liquidate all assets, all directors of the company have resigned.
That's really sad. That's like, you know, that's a classic sort of gaming company gone. So anyway.
Games we've been playing.
Yeah, games have been playing, right. This week, for me, the World of Warcraft 7.2 patch dropped, the Tomb of Sargeras patch, which you have no idea what I'm talking about, Carl, but it's cool.
Zero. Zero.
Pretty much they're adding a new raid dungeon to the game, but that's not coming out yet. That's like 2 or 3 months away.
So they're just preparing you for it.
Yeah, at the moment they're just sort of releasing the story leading up to it. So each week or every couple of weeks, new story elements are added in that you can go do through quests, etc. And eventually leads up to the opening of the tomb, which will then be the new raid dungeon.
Right.
Yeah, so I jumped in to have a look at the first lot of stuff, which was really just a couple of quests and that was kind of it wasn't very exciting. As the weeks go on and more things open up, it'll get better, but for the moment it was pretty mediocre, really.
I don't care.
Yep. No, fair enough.
I don't know, I probably would care, but I'm too scared to care.
Maybe one day. The other thing I went and had a go at was the Final Fantasy DLC this week. Episode Gladius came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I finished that.
Nice.
It was different. You play as Gladius rather than Noctis this time. So
On his own is like.
he's all by himself off on his own journey, because at one part of the game, he leaves the party for a bit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And this is what happens when he's away. And it was fun. The combat's a bit different for Gladius. He's set up a bit differently to Noctis. It wasn't very long. I finished it in about 1.5 hours.
Okay.
The final fight was really cool. That was fun. And then afterwards, you get like a new skill for Gladius in the main game, a new sword for Gladius, and things like this.
Oh, okay. So he's in the proper
But
one.
it's like, well, I've already finished the game. Why do I want to go back with this stuff now? I kind of feel like, well, I enjoyed the DLC. Like, anyone that's played Final Fantasy 15, go give it a crack. It's fun. It's something different. I still think this should have been part of the main game. It would have helped break up the main game a little.
Yeah, if it's just an hour and a half, too.
Exactly. It's only 1.5 hours, and it's in its own instanced area, sort of thing. And yeah, look, and it was fun. It was fun. Look, I'm gonna play the Prompto DLC, which comes out in June, but I think it'll be the same sort of thing. It'll be short. You'll get a reward at the end, but then it'll be like, well, I've already finished the main game. But yeah, how about you?
Well, I'm playing Nier Automata. I don't even know how to say it, and I'm loving it. Holy shit, that's a good game. I'm really enjoying it, maybe because it's quite a departure from everything I've been playing, which is weird to say because it is another massive open world, but it's a bit more streamlined. It's not like go anywhere anytime, so linear but just very big, and everything's kind of joined together, but it plays like a JRPG. Menu systems. I haven't spent so much time in a menu system and enjoyed myself since the Final Fantasy X Sphere Grid. There's so many intricate little bits and pieces that you can move and change that affect the gameplay and how the camera works and how your heads-up display looks and how fast your character moves and how much you level up or all kinds of different things. And they're all part of this thing that you add into your. I think they call the chipset that you put into your person. You can have like three or four different chipsets, and one can be more for defense, and one can be more for attack, and more for speed, and leveling up, and so on. It's just so much fun, and yet it's not even a JRPG. It's more like a slick action fighting game, you know, like adventure, like Bayonetta or Devil May Cry.
It kind of feels like games like Nier and Neo earlier this year have slipped under the radar just because of the massive games that have come out
Yeah.
at the start of this year at the same time. And it's kind of sad because I've sort of missed the hype around Nier. It's something I'm probably going to go try later in the year,
Yeah.
but for the moment, I just, yeah, don't have the time.
Yeah, they both came out of nowhere. I probably wouldn't have looked at them if their reviews weren't so amazing everywhere. I was just seeing nines and tens, and I just thought, what is this? I don't even know what it is. So it was like, it's the opposite of what we were talking about before with that. You know, the marketing overhyping you. In this, it was like there was no marketing for me. I missed it all. And then I just saw this awesome review score and went, oh, the product's amazing. There was no lead up. There's just all of a sudden this amazing product that just got dumped at me. Let me see what this is all about. And then you jump in and you're like, there's no room for disappointment because I never knew about it, you know, to have any expectation. So I just jump in and I'm like, oh, what a pleasant surprise. Holy crap, this is good.
So you think you'll play this one through to the end?
I think so because we'll talk about that later. It's hard to.
Yeah, okay, but you're enjoying the game. Like, it's a worthwhile game that you're going to keep going
Very
with.
much. Yeah, I definitely think I'm going to go all the way through with this one. Like I'm in. I'm so lost in it. The story is super emotional. It's very like anime style. Like everything is just there's such high stakes and everyone's relationships are so strong and powerful and everything's so meaningful and it's just so awesome.
And this is just a PS4 exclusive, is it?
And PC. Yes,
Yeah,
that's right.
right.
So
Cool. What are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on PS4.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
And also just more of the Switch, more
Oh,
of
of course. Yeah, the Switch.
I had an excellent session with the Switch. I don't know if any of you listeners know, but we on the East Coast of Australia got hit just recently with Cyclone Debbie, a little bit of destruction more up in the Queensland area and worked its way down, but it sort of lightly hit us where I am here in Brisbane, and we lost all power for hours, just all night. It just hit us at about 7 o'clock at night, and it didn't come back on till about 4 in the morning the next day. I was in the middle of playing my PS4 actually, and the power cut, and I was like, oh, well, shit. Walked over to my room, picked up my Switch, and played Zelda all night till I fell asleep, and I didn't even skip a beat. I had the best time, didn't even notice.
That's awesome. Nice. Speaking of the Switch, I assume you've now tried out the Pro Controller.
Yes. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
You know what? You know what? This is a weird one. The buttons are super deep.
Yeah.
Like they're really high up there, and you gotta press them. I don't know, they're not like little buttons.
For people listening, anyone that's used an Xbox One controller, it's pretty much the same weight and shape as that. The buttons are all in the same place as are the joysticks, but as Carl said, they're just very deep buttons, like they go way in. It's kind of a bit strange at first when you start
Yeah,
using it.
and the sticks are quite high. I mean, it's comfy, but it's just so different. It's more like a Fisher and Price kid version of a normal controller.
Yeah, but it works fine, it works great. I'm enjoying it. I'm starting to use that rather than the Joy-Cons now when I'm playing on the TV with the Switch now. So yeah,
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I recommend it if you want something other than the Joy-Cons to use. The Joy-Cons do the job great.
It is more comfy for long period gaming if you're going to be playing stuff for like, 4 or 5 hours at a time, big sessions.
Yeah, or if you're looking at just even picking up a second controller for like player two on games like Mario Kart when that comes out, etc. It's a great option rather than another two Joy-Cons.
Yeah, of course. And there's Bomberman right now as well.
Yeah, no, I'm quite liking the controller. It feels nice.
So, that's everything else we've been playing, and now it's time for our feature game.
Now more than ever, we need a Pathfinder.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this, see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying.
No way this is home.
Oh! That's why I'm here, exploring the unknown.
Who are these guys?
Visitors just like us.
All right, here we are.
Feature game of the week is Mass Effect Andromeda. All right, so Mass Effect Andromeda is the latest game from BioWare. They developed the last three Mass Effects, so this is actually the fourth in the series,
Yep.
but it's now its own new separate story from the others, so set
Well,
in the
not
same.
completely separate, but separate adventure.
Yeah, separate adventure. Like, you don't have to have played the other three to
Yep.
start playing this one. So I never played Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3, but I started Andromeda. The game is like a third-person RPG.
Big space opera.
Big space opera. You go around exploring planets. You play the role of a Pathfinder whose role is like these people have left the Milky Way galaxy and traveled many, many light years away into a new galaxy called Andromeda that's been discovered, and you're pretty much trying to help set up livable planets for people.
Yeah, for the future of mankind.
Yeah, for the future of mankind, to keep, mankind sort of expanding and
Well, the
discovering.
whole of the Milky Way kind,
Yeah,
actually.
yeah. And so yeah, you go exploring planets, you encounter hostile aliens, things like that, you fight, you talk to people, there's a lot of side quests, there's a lot of talking, etc., etc. That's pretty much the game in a nutshell.
There's also talking as
Oh yeah,
well. And a bit of
and a bit of
talking.
talking.
Yeah.
And romancing, you can romance characters. So
Oh,
every
yes.
character you can romance, I've gone up and tried to romance. Every single person where that icon
Oh,
comes
you're a
up,
slut.
I'm like bang straight in there.
Really?
Every time, every
This
time,
guy.
yep.
Man, I would just went straight for that Irish pilot, and that's it. That was my boo.
Nah, everyone, got some rejections along the way, that's fair enough.
Mate.
But a lot of people are warming to my character's advances at this far in the story.
Oh, mate, you gotta play it cool, man.
Anyway, so my character, after I finally got going, his name is Taharis.
Taharis.
Or Taharis, yes. He is blonde with green eyes. Kind of like, I tried to make him like a cloud-crossed Dragon Ball character, I guess, when I was designing him.
Oh, okay. Bit of fun.
It turned out all right. He's got some Elvis-style sideburns.
Okay, okay. You have to put some screenshots up for our listeners to check out on the Facebook.
When he's got the jacket on, it all actually looks quite well. When he's got the t-shirt on, it looks terrible. Anyway, let's go into about the character creation first, before we get onto the actual graphics, yes, which has been a big talking point on the internet, is the graphics and the animation in this game.
It has.
So first thing when you start up this game is you make a character, right? And that's, you know, it's fun making a character. Like,
yeah, I mean, this is one of the things I look forward to in many RPGs.
Normally when I play a game, I'll try and make something that kind of resembles myself. So I'll go sort of shortish brown hair, brown eyes sort of thing. Then I'll get to the beards and I'll be like, right, I want to get the right sort of beard for my character.
Yep.
So I start putting my character together. I've got kind of a look going. I'm like, sweet, this is great. I get to the beards and I have either clean shaven, moustaches, sideburns, or just, I don't know, some stubble. No bushy beard.
No bushy beard.
All I wanted was to be like a space cowboy with a big bushy beard, right? And the game wouldn't give it to me. I was so pissed off at that stage. I was not happy that I could not have a big bushy beard on my character. Like, character creation is in these games are huge. Like, I don't get it. They've made medieval style RPGs of like Dragon Age, where I assume you can have big beards.
Yes,
in that,
you certainly, right? Certainly can. And they are awesome.
Why suddenly change it that now you can't have big beards? Like,
you know, maybe they're setting that, that's, well, I was going to say, like, the argument is that maybe it's, you're not allowed the bushy beards when you're working on the space station and things, but you can have like a giant fluoro yellow afro and pink makeup on your guy. So I don't know if it's regulations is a good enough excuse. You know, like some army games only let you have really short hair.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and that makes sense, but yeah, I've seen some crazy designs.
Yeah, I was really let down with the character creation as a whole. Like, I'm using the beard as you know, a point to sort of poke at. But in overall, going through, I didn't think there was enough options in terms of hairstyles and beards and scars as well. Like, you can put scars on your character, but you can't position how big that scar is or whereabouts on the face it is. Like, little things like that just help so much to design your character. Instead, it's all these preset scars. The tattoos were horrible. The tattoos weren't good at all. Like, one or two of the tattoos were okay. If I could have made them maybe a bit smaller, it would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I would have gone, okay, you have this little tattoo. Nah, they were just, like, some of them were just way too big or, yeah, covered half the character's face. And, yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
I use the default character, which I've never, ever done in a game that lets me create a character, no matter what. I take so much pride in creating a character and then taking them through the adventure, becoming them, whether they look a bit like me or whether they're some, I don't know, rogue bow and arrow magic girl. I love creating them. And this time I just went, I tried it and it looked okay. I was like, yeah, this looks okay. And then I started the game. And that same person that looked okay in the menu looked like they got shot with a shotgun and then reconstructed that morning. So I started again, recreated a character, same thing. So I went, use the default one, and that's who I used. And I think that might have something to do with me not connecting to Mass Effect the way I used to.
Okay.
Because maybe it wasn't me.
Yeah. For me, it was like, I tried making characters and starting the game, and I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it, wasn't getting into it, so rather than trying to make something like myself, I just went and made this other random character, pretty much, and so I just went with that in the end. Like, I even went try and use the original character's name in the game. I thought Scott was just, I don't know, I was just like, nah, I don't like that as a character's name, like.
Yep. Sorry to any Scots listening, you're just not a space name.
No. It's like, you know, you're playing this other world game where you're with all these aliens and you're Scott.
Well.
Yeah. So, you know, he gets called Ryder by everyone. That's fine. You know, it works. But I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. You know, when they're like, yeah, hey, Scott. I'm just like, yeah, nah, I'm just going to cut that out and put my own name in. And then his default name then becomes, last name is Ryder. So that becomes the default name everyone calls you. So I've just gone with that. And look, I'm, at first, even then, even when I was playing the game at the start, I still wasn't quite feeling it, but I pushed on But now I kind of am, now that I'm more into the game. Like, I feel like my character is, you know, he's out there doing his thing, and that's sort of who he is. And does a bit of romancing along the way with everyone that he meets.
This guy.
Yeah. But yes, as you're saying, no, when your character wakes up at the start of the game, so you wake up from cryo at the start of the game, after like a 600-year journey from the Milky Way, and then your character appears on screen. And it's kind of weird because it's this really cool intro. It's got this great soundtrack and all these cool noises going on. The ships sound awesome.
Yeah, they do.
You know, got a deep thud through the subwoofer. It just sounds great. Then your character wakes up out of cryo and you're like, oh, all right, okay. Like, the graphics weren't that great. It just... some of the characters' faces look very plasticky.
It's like, weird that they chose that to be their first reveal. Like, and no matter what you do, they just look so bad when they wake up.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was the way they're looking around the room, or or if it's the words or whatever.
If they just did like in Fallout 4 where they're in those capsules, if they were in something like that already standing, and say it was dark, and then there was like, I don't know, some dramatic smoke as the door opened, and then you walk out, you know, and you kind of, then at least it could not be so crispy and perfectly clear how hideously ugly it is.
What, how he just sort of, then he just pops up on the screen sort of thing.
Like perfectly clear, like every pixel, you're like, oh, yep, this is ugly. All right, I guess I know that now. Thanks.
Yeah, look, it's
not that ugly. It's just that the moment you start, they show you it at its ugliest, at its clearest and most yucky. And then while everything else is actually not so bad, you just...
Oh, no, a lot of the human models I found aren't nice to look at. Like, there's a few that just look strange and just a bit off at times, or... Yeah, I don't know, I just felt...
Emotions are dead. There's a lot of mannequins.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, this sort of awkward, blank stare, sort of talking. It just... Coming from something like a Horizon where, you know, it was very quite detailed in, like, a lot of character models.
Horizon was captured. So,
yes.
And that's why, and you can see it there, like every word, the lips are saying them perfectly, and it just adds so much. Whereas Mass Effect was animated by hand, you know, on the computer and stuff. So a very different technique, and you can just tell which one really works. And like other games that were captured animation are games like The Last of Us and Uncharted 4. And when you see the difference from those to like Mass Effect... And I guess it is so much harder to capture if you're going to do something like Mass Effect, because it's just so big and there's so much talking and so many opportunities for different things to say. And whereas these other games are slightly more scripted, you know, so it's easier to make it. So there's that as well, which is it's a much, much bigger job. But I would prefer to have seen this game next year and have them capture it, to be honest.
Well, I don't know if you saw some of the original, like, trailers and stuff for the game and how nice the characters looked in that and then with what we got. And I think that upset a lot of people online when they saw that. It was like, do you remember 2 years ago of The Witcher 3 and there was the original shots of Novigrad? It's a nice way to piss off people if you're a gaming company. Like, people get really pissed off. Show them as it is, like, you know. Rather, I don't know. Like, what do you do in that situation?
Well, it's hard because especially like the same thing, Watch Dogs did the same thing and The Witcher did it, you know, and they're fighting in the swamp and the water's reacting to everything he does and it just looked amazing. But it's not, they're not exactly, they get so much backlash, but they're not lying to us and they're not tricking us. It's because when they show it to us, they only have that much of the game that exists. And so they don't have anything else rendering in the background. It's actually... essentially this tiny forest, and then, or if it's Watch Dogs, it's this tiny section of the city where there's cars and explosions and reflections and, you know, on the street with the rain hitting and bits of paper. And in The Witcher, it's like leaves are all blowing perfectly in his hair and his clothes and the water's reacting perfectly to his footsteps. And it's because they only have that scene to render, so they render it beautifully, and then they're like, oh, here's what our game's going to look like. And it's probably what they think they wanted it to look like. And then as soon as you go, all right, well, now let's do this full scale. Oh, shit, well, we can't render all of that. Let's take out little bits and pieces so we can give people the magic of this giant place.
Yeah.
You know, and they did very well with what they had. But, you know, it's hard. I guess it's hard to try and shoot yourself in the foot at the start and go like, all right, now this looks amazing. But let's be real here. When we make it really big, it won't look this good. But which parts are we going to have to get rid of? Like, how do we show this to the world?
Yeah. Well, I just felt a bit let down by the animation this game. That's all. You know, I expected more.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, BioWare as a whole is to blame for this, not any one person.
Yep.
As the internet went after.
Oh, well, that was really stupid.
Yeah. Look, it's not one person as all the animations, because if they did all those animations by themselves, well done, because...
Well, exactly. That would be...
That's amazing. Look, it's a whole team, but, you know, those animations would have had to go through so much Q&A and testing and final checks off from producers, and so many people would have been involved, and for it to then come out like that, yeah. Yeah, just disappointing that no one along the way went, you know what, let's actually delay this by another 12 months and we're going to make this really slick and, you know, rather than rush it out the door. It actually feels like it has just been rushed out the door.
Yeah, and maybe...
Just to get there.
Maybe it did. I mean, you know, we don't even know how this stuff works, and, like, maybe it wasn't up to BioWare in the end. Maybe it's, you know...
Yeah, maybe EA, well, exactly. Who the publisher on this... Yeah, just decide to, you know, just go, hey, we need the game out quarter one, 2017. Just go with whatever you got, and that's what we get. And then to get a backlash from the internet, you know, and then EA will then go to BioWare, well, why'd we get the backlash for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'll send an email that just says, Zelda.
Horizon.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from the animations and things and the graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
From the characters. Apart from the characters, the planets themselves that you go to look very, very nice.
Yes, they do.
That all looks awesome.
Yeah. Aside like, from a bit of pop-in.
Bit of pop-in. But, you know, every game seems to have that along the way somewhere. But they all look nice. They all feel different, the planets. I've been on a couple of different planets now. You know, you walk through.
Yeah, yeah.
Sand, you know, it leaves your footprints, or snow, it leaves your footprints and all that.
Yeah, I went to the jungly evening sort of planets, and that was pretty cool. I did miss, strangely enough, day-night cycles. None of them.
Yeah.
It's just one time a day on each planet. There's a night planet and a day planet, which I thought was a bit dated.
But then you can actually then, if you want to get really... go, oh yeah, but you know, these are all different sort of galaxies, maybe, and you know, the planets have all different rotations, maybe they're extremely slow rotations and you're not on the planet long enough for it to change from day to night.
You know what, I'm gonna go ahead and take that. Maybe every planet we go to spins extremely slow, so slow, every single one of those planets in that whole galaxy. That sounds like my kind of galaxy. Everyone's just taking it easy.
Yeah, everyone's just cruising along. Yeah, look, the actual planets themselves, I quite enjoy, and I think that's the best bit of the game. This is going to sound weird, but I feel like there's almost two game engines involved in this game.
Yes, yeah.
One when you're on the spaceships or space station, the other one when you're out exploring on the planet. Yeah. It just feels so different between the two, just from like movement and just the looks of things and the environments. Obviously, a spaceship's going to look different to a planet, but I mean, like, it just feels so different when you're playing in this game. Like on the spaceship,
the camera moves out a bit, and your person's just a little bit smaller, and the animation feels a little bit more fluid. The running feels a bit nicer.
Yes, exactly. And of course, you can jump and things like that on the planet. You can't in the space station.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about the game, actually, is the jump jets. I love the jump jets. The little joof, joof. That's great. Love it.
That's so funny, because I do love the jump jets, but they were one of the things that made me just stop playing it and move on.
Wow. It's one of my favorite things about the whole game.
I love the jumping up and the boosting forward, but I hate in a fluid flowing, especially after playing Horizon. Sorry, I mentioned it again. But after playing that, which such fluid combat, then I jumped on this and the jumping's awesome, but when you land and you want to jump again and keep the flow, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, but it's at the wrong moment, and it's like, it's quite staggering like this.
Yep.
There's no actual jump. For those who haven't played it, the jump is the jetpack. So you press, you know, in some games like Halo or other games like that, you jump and then you press a little jetpack for your second double jump or whatever. This is the jetpack goes off, and then you land, and then you kind of recharge it for just half a second, and then you can press it again. Doesn't seem like much, but just in the flow of things, just for me personally, especially because there's no like solid lock-on cover system. I want that flow. I want either a good cover system or a good flow. And this kind of had neither.
Well, I found it strange how there is no crouch button.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I don't know. I never played Mass Effect 1 or 2 or 3, so I can't comment on that. But playing this, I see like a little thing of boxes. Going up to it, I want to be able to crouch down to walk up to those boxes or whatever.
Yes.
So I'm not getting shot in the face as I'm running up to it.
Yeah, because you only crouch automatically once you reach it sometimes, 80%
of
the
time. And then I felt when you walk up to it and you automatically drop down, I want to shoot out or pop out on the right-hand side, but my guy's facing left. I couldn't get him to flip around onto the right-hand side to do an easy pop out on that side.
Yeah. Just so strange.
You know, like just peeking around the corner with your gun?
Yep, yep.
And it's just like, it's just little things like that makes the combat a little harder than it needs to be.
This is true. That was true. The combat was one of the main things that was a bit iffy for me. The buggy, though, holy crap, I love that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it's called. That's how much I loved it. But I loved it. It jumps. You can turn it into six-wheel drive to climb up steep hills.
Actually,
a little boost.
One thing I didn't like about the buggy is that the controls differ from when you're walking around. So,
oh, do they?
Dash forward when you're walking around is not speed boost in the buggy. It's get out of the buggy. So
yes.
You're running around, and then you get in the buggy, and you drive along and go, oh, speed boost forward now, and you hit the speed boost button. Well, you think it's the speed boost button, but it's actually the get out button. The speed boost button's another button, and it's like,
yeah.
why not just have the same two control schemes, like with jumping and speed boost, so I can keep that in my head when I'm playing this game, rather than go, oh, now I'm in the buggy now. Instead of using circle for speed boost, I now use square for speed boost. There's no point. There's no point to that at all.
Even stranger, that same concept with the buggy, I forgot about this. Get in, different button to get out. So, and
Why?
I went in, I pressed the get in button, and then I quickly wanted to get out, so I smashed the get out button. I held it for just a little bit too long. Next minute, I'm in space, in my spaceship. And I'm next to, you know, the alien on my right, and this girl on my left, and she's like, how did you go on the planet? I'm like, I'm not done yet. That's how I went. I'm not finished.
Well, I jumped in that buggy, I'm cruising along, I see some minerals, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, how do I get the minerals? Oh, I've got to get out of the thing. That's cool. Hit the, what I think is the get out button, next minute, back on the spaceship.
I'm like, why am I back up here? You see the little spaceship in this, like it zooms right out and there's this tiny thing flying away from the planet and you're like, no, this could not go worse. Why change the button?
Talking about like the ship and the planet and stuff. I think there's almost too much time on the ships.
Yeah.
Like walking around and talking to people. Like I was playing it for hours and all I was doing was walk around and talking to people.
And trying to remember where they were.
Doing a side quest and you go talk to another person and you get something, you talk to another person and goes on and on. And then as I felt I was getting back towards getting onto a new planet, something else happens in the story. And you end up just walking around and talking to more people for another 40 minutes or so. And then you get down to the planet. It's like, oh, come on. Just, you know, I get, you know, it's cool going back up into the base, chatting to people, seeing what's going on, doing some things. I just felt like it just dragged on way too much when you're trying to make sure you get a good cap of the story by having a chat to everyone.
Yeah.
It just gets a bit much after a while and you're like, all right, get on with it.
That's it.
Oh, another thing. you know, oh, I'm on this planet, I'm cruising around. You know, my character has all cool powers. He can charge forward really fast. He's awesome with weapons and stuff. He can use jump packs, jump around. I see a pool of water. I go, oh, I need to get to the other side. I'll just jump. Oh, wait, no, you can't swim.
Oh, yeah. You can't swim.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a bit strange. The map in the game was okay.
I couldn't read that map. That was so weird.
Got a little confusing at times.
Yeah, it was... I mean, both these other games, which I will not mention again, mm-hmm. have just such beautiful maps.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Almost a pleasure to read. You just want to zoom in because they're pretty. And then this one is just like... like your first day using CAD and you're trying to figure out how to do it and go like, you know what? I give up. Enter.
Yep. Oh, another thing that was really frustrating is the UI in this game.
Yeah.
It, you know, in all other games, you go into your quest log, right? And it lists all your quests there. Brilliant. In this, I open the quest log and there's one quest there. I'm like, no, I've got more quests than that. I'm like, where are all my other quests? I'm looking around on the screen. I'm like, I don't know. So I hit back, but when I hit back, then it takes me to a new menu with all these different things for quests there. I'm like, why not just take me into that when I hit quest log first? Then yes. I could have selected where I wanted to go, what type of quest I wanted to go into after that. Yep. It was just confusing.
It is very confusing. And those exclamation marks never seem to go away, no matter what you do.
And then like the text of the journals that you can read in the game is too small. When you're sitting on the couch away from the TV, you don't want to be leaning forward and squinting to sit there and try and read the text. Now, yep. I think my eyes are all right. You know, I had an eye test only several months ago and my eyes were fine. You know, like...
Yeah.
I just felt, okay, if they wanted it for like, you know, to have it all crisp and nice looking, give me an option. I'd like this in a lot of games, actually, to make some of the text bigger, really, at times. Yep. I had the same problem with The Witcher 3, actually.
Yeah.
I had real trouble reading the text in that, like massive trouble.
It was tiny.
So much that I thought my eyes were actually playing up on me, but then I figured out it wasn't. It was just the text in the game. And yeah, it's like, yeah, just little things like that, you know, just hurt the game, I think. Like, in all, saying this, I'm actually enjoying the game. I'm enjoying the story. I think it's kind of fun space adventure kind of thing, going out, cruising around different planets. I enjoy the combat in this. You know, it does kind of feel nice, except for the cover system style.
Yeah.
But I'm still playing through it, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm probably going to play it all the way through to the end, because I want to see where it goes.
Nice.
And things like that.
You know, I think it might actually help that you hadn't played the first three. I think that might actually be a plus for newcomers, because this is, like, Mass Effect... I feel a lot of samey stuff in here, but that's not a bad thing, because the first three were just incredible experiences, and the storytelling, and it's BioWare, their storytelling and their character development are just brilliant, and I'm sure it will be in this, but it just, there wasn't enough new, and there wasn't enough awesome for me. There's still like, I also like in the voice acting, there's so many diverse cultures in it, as well, yeah. You know, and that's really interesting to listen to, and the undertones of racism and themes and different things like that, like, it's really clever. There's a bit of humor, like, it's well written.
Yeah. Well, one thing with the writing and the dialogue, I actually wish there was more, I would have liked some more options with, like, you know, just to make my character a bit of a dickhead at times.
Yeah.
Rather than everywhere I go, it feels like, hey, everyone, you know, what's up sort of thing. Rather than walking the room going, I don't like any of you, you're all assholes. Like, why can't I play the asshole for a bit in the game?
Yeah. I do miss that from the other ones, because you could be quite an asshole.
Well, I think that would have been quite... because when I first started playing this, I'm like, all right, I would like to try and play that role of character in this game. And then there's not really those options. Sometimes I'll pick them if there is something like that, but yeah. And so I'm just going on a romance-a-thon across the galaxy at the moment.
Yeah, there's the thing, like, the decisions, you know, I miss in the old RPGs where you sit there and you're trying to make a hard decision about something, whereas in this, the two different things you can decide, they They do have some big ones, but they go from like huge differences and things that make you stare at the screen for 10 minutes, and then all things like they'll have, all right, what are you going to do for us to make this happen? And you can say, whatever it takes, or everything I can. And it's like, you know, and you go like, are you serious? You must have seen that. And I remember looking at it going, those are the same exact things said differently. Those are full the same. And they've got different logos near them. Like one has a little love heart and one has like the brain symbol. I'm like, no, guys, this is the same.
Yep.
And then you'll get like, all right, now you're two. What do you want to do here? Oh, what are my options for this prisoner? Okay, you can send him to jail for a crime he didn't commit, or you can free him for a technicality of a crime that he intended to commit and that he just told you. And then you're like, oh, what? Well, this is heavy. Oh, you've made me do that other thing for so long now. I stared at that for just like 10 minutes going, what
the
hell?
Nah, fuck it. I'll let the guy go. He missed.
Yeah, I let him go too. I was like, let you guys deal with that while I'm in another planet.
I'm like, you know what? You actually didn't kill him. So technically, you can't be exiled for this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Milky Way rules, yo.
Yep. Yeah, that's how I felt about it. But so you stopped playing Andromeda. You've taken the game back. You're done.
I did. I completely stopped it. It got there was just not enough there. It was a good game, and I said this to you before. It was,
if the game's in the $20 bargain bin in 6 months' time, will you go pick it up again?
You know what? I'd do it for 30. Absolutely.
Oh, yep. Big spender.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't play around. And I was saying, like, the disappointing thing is I didn't give this back because it was bad. I gave it back because it was good. Now, how weird does that sound? That's the kind of year we're in. I'm like, I don't have time to play good games because there's too many excellent games. So it is good.
Fair enough. And everyone, that was Mass Effect Andromeda.
No more mercy. Kill them all.
I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me.
Now you are a part of the first wave of ARCs arriving in Andromeda, our new home for humanity.
All right, let's go to our next stop on the game train.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the games of our lives.
So the other week, Carl decided to be the biggest prick ever and go, hey, write down a game from each year that you've been alive which you thought was the best game of that year.
Yeah, well, see, this wasn't my idea. It was going around quite a bit on the internet. I think Kotaku put up an article with that on it, and people were doing it, and it just looked like fun. It's not fun.
Why did you do this to me? It's so unfair. And yeah, I think I sent you a bit of abuse through chat that night.
Yes, I got a bit. Don't worry, I spent hours just trying to pick between The Curse of Monkey Island and Oddworld.
Yes. We're discussing these, and then we thought, well, you know what? Why not make a new segment? So, Games of Our Lives, Part 1. We're going from 84 to 89. So, 1984 to 1989.
All right, let's do it. We can fly through this first bit.
So, Carl, what was your 1984 game?
Well, thank you. I wasn't alive at that time.
Okay then. All right.
I'm just a spring chicken.
Okay. Well, for me, it was a game called Kung Fu Master. This is a game I played on my Atari. I loved it so much. Like, it was so much fun. It just, I don't know why, just walking around punching and kicking bad guys. It was so basic.
That's all you needed then.
Yeah. You know what? When I saw that on that year, when I started this, I went, that's it. All right. 1985.
Oh, easiest one on that list. Yeah. Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers 1. Wow, bang. Crossed off. Next.
Not too disappointed to be born on that year, just quietly.
1986, The Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda, absolutely.
Yep, easy. Again, bang, crossed off, bang. Next year, 1987.
This was a tough one for me.
Okay.
What did you get?
I had The Legend of Zelda 2.
Oh, look at you, you special snowflake, you.
I loved the second Zelda game. I thought it was fantastic back in the day.
Yeah, I never played it.
That's a shame.
It is a shame, because imagine me trying it now. Having said that, though, mine is Police Quest in Pursuit of the Death Angel, which is an adventure sort of point-and-click game like Space Quest or King's Quest. I loved it because I got to play it in English class at school. That was me playing it in 1999,
yeah.
Many, many years later, but that's the game I played.
Yes. People are going to realize I wasn't playing Kung Fu Master as a newborn
when you
baby.
Were born. Yeah, exactly.
I was playing this when I was like 5 or 6 years old. But, you know.
So I was about 12 or 13 playing Police Quest, but that was my favorite game of 1987.
Yeah.
All right. 88.
I'll let you take this one.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Easy.
I have it tattooed on my arm, so that's something that I went with this list. If something's on my arm, then it kind of had to be on the list. Helped me make some decisions. All right, 1989, you go.
89 for me was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. I love this game. I remember playing it in like the cinema foyer, at the go-kart track foyer. I remember when I eventually played it on cartridge. Like, it was just, I loved this game so much. And
it was a brilliant game. I remember playing that.
Trying to find people around to try and get four players on there at once on the arcade machine. And then everyone play. Oh, it's just...
And choosing Donatello because he could reach the furthest.
It's just an awesome game. It's just so cool. And like when Rocksteady comes out at the start of the game, it's just that scene is just... Yeah, just there in my mind. It's just cool.
Yeah, that was a cool one. Well, mine is like your special snowflake one, Super Mario Land.
The Game Boy one.
Yep, because my big brother, which is so weird because he doesn't even have a computer now, but back then he was at boarding school, and then he'd come back and visit in the islands, and we didn't have much else to play. All I had was an Atari, and all I was playing was Frostbite, which is a 1983 game, and that is all I could play. And he'd rock up, and he'd have his Game Boy, which was just voodoo to me, that you could walk around and carry video games in your hand. And he had Super Mario Land, and it was just incredible, because I'd played Super Mario Brothers at my friend's house, but you know, never at my own house. And my older brother had it in his pocket. Holy shit. Every time he came to visit, I didn't even care. He was like, hey man, good to see you. I'm like, have you got your Game Boy? Can I play? He's like, yeah, go away.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
That was it for me.
Nice. So guys, next time we're going to go from 1990 to 1994.
Oh yeah.
This is where it starts to get tricky in those years, but that's next week.
All right. Next stop on the game train. Listener questions. Let's do it. Okay. Last week we got Sean Fullard. I hope that's how I say your name. Wrote to us, and he asked us what our favorite game that we think deserved a sequel but kind of got overlooked. Overlooked. Well, we're not talking about Switch games, okay? Yeah, so games that we think deserved a sequel, never got one, kind of got overlooked, and, you know, it's just kind of sitting there existing, being incredibly awesome, that could do with a sequel or a remake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. I've got two.
Now, Kellen, you said you seem to think that you've got one that I have. We haven't told each other which games they are. You think you have one of mine. All right.
Okay. Oni.
Oni? Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't?
Nice. No, it wasn't.
Oh, man. So Oni was this game that came out, late 90s.
Yeah. What, with the purple hair girl, yeah?
Yeah, purple hair girl, and you could fight with punches or kicks or a gun and stuff. It was fun. It was a fun, good game.
Great.
It was really
call.
Good. And then it went nowhere. You know, that was one of Bungie's first games before
Halo.
Yeah,
it was. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so nothing ever happened with it after that. That was it.
That's a great one.
Yeah, so I'd love to see either a sequel or a remake for that. It wouldn't bother me. Like, I'd play either.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one I have is this RPG. It was made by a Western studio, but in the JRPG mold.
Okay.
It was called Septerra Core.
Okay.
It was on PC. It also came out in the 90s or early 2000s. And yeah, I'd like to just see a remake of it. I don't think a sequel would really work. It was a fun RPG. It had a cool story. Yeah, the game came out in 1999 on PC.
Ah, nice. Wow. All right. That Oni, bloody.
Yeah, Oni. Yeah. That's the one I thought you might have had.
No, I did not. Damn, okay. My one, I went with Grim Fandango. There is a remake, but I'd love a sequel. I mean, the story itself is such a huge adventure over so many years. I don't know how they could make a sequel or maybe even a prequel. maybe see what Manny Cavalera was up to when he was alive. I don't know, but I wanted more of that story. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
And my other one was Okami. Although they did have Okami Den on the 3DS. But, I'd kind of like more of just a sequel of the game itself.
Yeah, very cool.
Good question. Thanks for that.
Thanks for the question, Sean. Thanks for that.
Yeah. That brings us to our last segment of the Game Train podcast, Hype Train and the Lame Train.
All right. First up is the Lame Train.
All right.
All right. Roll her out, Carl. What have you got?
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Are you serious?
Yep. That is my lame train for this podcast.
Wow.
Yep.
Why are you, okay, and why just quickly did you put it in a lame train? Why?
Well, because I fought for you, BioWare. People were having their doubts. My friends and people I knew of were talking about how bad the ending of part 3 was and how I just don't got it anymore. And I said, no way. This is it. You're going to eat your words. You watch how this just changes the world. Remember when Mass Effect 1 came out and the animation and the conversations and the close-ups were just second to none? Well, they're going to do it again. And you embarrassed me. Don't embarrass me. Yeah. And what's yours?
Well, mine's... I was going to say about people that don't finish games and then just decide to take them back to the store, but I won't do that one. Mine was...
Who would do such a thing?
I know, right? Mine was, or is, about how when you buy a game digitally here in Australia, why is it more expensive than going to buy it in a store? Here's a great example. Andromeda on PC, off Origin EA's website, is $89.99.
So $90.
$90, yep. Buying it in a store, you can get it for $69. Why would you bother buying it online? Why is it more expensive online than walking down the road and just picking it up in the shop?
Yeah, that's weird. It should be so much cheaper.
It's just dumb and it makes no sense.
This is true.
That's my lame train this week. I'm getting sick of it, really. You see it happening all the time. And it's not just EA on Origin doing this. That was just one example. The PlayStation Store does it. The Xbox Store does it. Steam does it. They all do it.
Birds do it. Bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
It's more expensive for a lot of games unless they're on sale, and then you got the massive download on top of that too. So yeah, I'm just getting sick of it.
That's a real lame train right there.
All right, hype train. Right, mate, what's your hype train?
Well, there's still Red Dead Redemption 2 there, but don't worry, that's just my sub-hype train that's going to remain there till it comes out.
Yes.
Holy shit, I am so hyped for that. But for this one specifically, it's seeing the Alicia Vikander photos of Tomb Raider's new movie.
Okay, that's cool.
She looks awesome, and I can't wait for this. I didn't want this. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't need it, but I am stoked it's coming because I just feel like we've needed a redo of all those movies. There still hasn't been that one, that amazing movie that's based off a video game. And it'd be cool if it was this one. I don't think it will be because it's just another sort of action adventure in the jungle and whatnot. But if they even just stick to the first reboot Tomb Raider, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the pictures looked awesome. She looks unreal. I'm very impressed.
That's cool. That's cool, man. Mine is I'm really hyped for Yooka-Laylee, which is this 3D platform which is coming out next week from the guys that made Banjo-Kazooie back in the 90s. They've split off into their own studio now. They've gone independent. This game's been kickstarted. It raised a lot of money. They've made it. It comes out next week. I'm super hyped for this game.
Yes, nice.
It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a nice break from the open world games that I've been slogging through. I can't wait.
So true.
And speaking of that, that is our feature game for next episode. We're going to be talking all things Yooka-Laylee.
Yes.
We're going to be talking Kickstarter, good or bad for the gaming industry, plus hype train, lame train, your questions being answered, and more on Games of Our Lives. This has been Game Train. Thank you very much.
Booyah. Thank you. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me.